Before you sit down, shake hands with somebody and say, you look a lot better than you did this morning. That'll kind of encourage them a little bit. Let me move real fast into something right here, if I may. And I just really kind of feel an anointing upon me just to begin this for just a few minutes. But first of all, I want to say I'm so honored to have Pastor Jerry Alcorn and his beautiful first lady that's here tonight, Pam, and John Hall and his beautiful, and both of you married way out of your class, and I hope you know that. And my beauty right here, and I know I married orbits out of my league getting her. And then here's my longtime best buddy that I had to get him out of many a problem in his life. And I was telling some folks today over lunch, and he was stuck out at the lake, and the water was coming up, and he was in stress, and he had his girlfriend, and they were reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there he was in trouble, and he found a payphone, and the water had gotten up almost to the rim coming in, just like that, and he called me and said, Dwight, help. Bring a long rope because I can't get out of here. And so I threw my stuff in the car, and there I went down there, and I latched that on there, and I pulled that out, and I saved him from all of that. Oh, wait a minute. That was me he rescued. You know. Yeah, I've got to preach. And so I was telling some folks today that story over lunch, and now then you're the living proof. But I didn't leave you hanging too long on all of that. He's been my buddy since we were boys, young boys, and wonderful friend. I sure love all of you in this church, and I love this wonderful congregation of people. And I always think about, I can take a few moments just to kind of talk here a little bit about something that I was thinking about 2010 and that meeting that started out, and it went on for many, many weeks, and it was just a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit, and to God be all the glory. And I also would like to say, if I can just get this out of my spirit and into this atmosphere, I believe the best is yet to come. And I believe that you're going to see the greatest move of God you've ever witnessed. And I'm believing for Pastor Nichols that all he has seen in the past, this is my prayer, and my faith just on the line wants to say this. I'm believing that everything he has seen in the past combined will pale in comparison to yet what he will see through the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're believing that he's going to be healed completely, as we've already prayed. And his youth is going to be renewed. And he's going to be so feisty around here, you won't be able to hold him down. Huh? I told him one day, I said, you've had your knees done, your shoulder done. And I said, you're the bionic man right here, the Holy Ghost bionic man. But we love Pastor Bob Nichols and all that he means to every one of us. So, Pastor, you get well. Well, real quick. Amen. Are you ready for a few minutes? Let me just kind of just flow out of my spirit a little bit. Let me, before I get to something. There's a wonderful story. It's only a few verses in there. And it's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And it's a man that's in there, tucked in among all the others that were a part of David's mighty men. He had 600 of those before it was over. But tucked in there are a few of those that they talk about the feats that they did under the power of Almighty God. And it's amazing. But I'll only just bring out one to kind of lay a groundwork here. There comes a time in your life that you say to yourself, you talk to yourself, enough is enough. Amen. There just comes a time in your faith that you get tired of being pushed around, and you get tired of the enemy walking in, smacking you around when he wants to. Fact of the matter is, he can't do that. He has no authority to do that. If there's going to be any smacking around, we're the ones going to do the smacking around. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Would you agree to that? And the church isn't some weak-kneed weakling that is just at the mercy of the enemy, that he can do what he wants to. But Jesus portrayed it that this is a mighty church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so we need to begin to rise up to that which he said that we are, the children of the Most High God. And in saying that, take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Taking that back. Well, one of those mighty men was a man by the name of Shammah. And it's a very interesting little short story about him. And Shammah was one of David's mighty men. And he I don't know if it was his business, but he raised lentils, a pea patch. Years ago, I used to preach a message called "I've Left This Pea Patch for the Last Time." And I thought it was a cool little title, but it has a very powerful message to it. And that was simply that these Philistines would come down every time at harvest time. Shammah would plow the field. He would clear the ground. He would till it. He'd do everything. He got on his John Deere tractor that Pastor Alcorn let him borrow. That's a private joke. He does have a big John Deere on his ranch out there. And I got on a rabbit trail just thinking about that right there. One time, a couple of three folks left his church, some of his prized people. Can I go ahead and tell this? Can I go ahead and do it? Work with me and say, do it, Dwight. Tell it on. Oh, see, we're overwhelmed with. Okay. And so he had two or three people, you know, that you depended on, and they just up and left the church for whatever reason. Well, Brother Alcorn just loved them so much. They had just been by him, and suddenly they're gone. Well, he was just depressed. And so he just said, I'm just going to go to the ranch and get on my John Deere. So he just got out there and he just began to, you know, delight himself in the Lord and get encouraged. And he's driving that big tractor and he lowered that thing in the back, you know, that plows all the ground. And he just keeps going along. And all of a sudden he just began to get anointed and he started singing, "You can leave my church, but you can't take my tractor."
What a song.
But Finley, I think there's a song in there. If you will get some verses of that, that will be a bestseller all across the country. Everybody say it with me. You can leave my church, but you can't take my tractor. Well, I don't know if there's anything spiritual about that, but I just can't resist. I'll be back to y'all in just a minute. Well, Shammah, who said the happiest people on the face of the earth ought to be the children of the Most High God? Right. We're not supposed to look like we're about to die or anything else. We're supposed to look like we have something.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and just smile at him and say, "I believe that with all my heart." So this man, let me get to him. This man, Shammah, and he would plow that field and so on. And then about harvest time, here would come those Philistines and annually they'd come and take his crop from him. But one day he had had it. Enough is enough. And the scripture says that he stood in the middle of that pea patch. And I mean, he let them know that some rules have changed. Your little Philistine babies aren't going to get fat on one of these peas, not one more time. And when the smoke cleared, he had wiped out that entire band of Philistines that come. But the whole point is, he was just saying, enough is enough. And I think there's a time that every one of us, no matter what it may be in our life, that we rise up and take dominion and authority that we have in Jesus Christ coming against the powers of the enemy. Now, with that said, the application that I would like to make to that is to stand in that pea patch and imagine with me tonight, in the middle of that pea patch is everything that is near and dear to your heart. And primarily that would be family, would it not? Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your mother, your father, all of your family members are in the middle of that pea patch. Well, I talked a little bit this morning in giving praise to the Lord in a grateful heart that every one of my children and my grandchildren today I'm humbled and grateful to God to say that they're serving the Lord. That makes me a very blessed man. Of all the things I could talk about, nothing succeeds that. This is the greatest thing of all, to think that they're serving God. So I look out over this audience tonight, and I wanted to talk about this with you because I'm believing God with you. I'm standing in the middle of that pea patch with you, serving notice on the devil. My children, my grandchildren, my loved ones are all inside this circle. And we're going to lay down the law tonight. They will not be lost, but they shall be saved in Jesus' name. I want you to shout this out loud, just real strong, real forceful, real with authority. Devil, get your hands off my family. Yeah, that's good. I believe we can even do it a little bit better. Kind of ball that fist up. Because let me tell you something. Here's what I believe. I believe any man in this room, if an intruder were to come inside that house and try and bring harm into that family, they're going to have to get around that man. Amen. And when your loved ones are threatened, or your children, your grandchildren, there's going to be blood on the floor before that thing is over, because he'll give his life before harm can come to that family. Now think about that. And the other thing about that is there would be no hesitation in it. You wouldn't have to think about it. It would just be instinct, because that's what a man's supposed to do. Stand up and protect no matter what it takes. But then I'll carry that a step further. I also believe this. If the man doesn't happen to be in the house, I wouldn't want to be messing with the woman. I think the wife of that house and the mother would also absolutely be a fighting female bear coming against any attacker. I believe that. Just looking at one or two of you women here tonight, I ain't going there, dude. If I was the devil, there's a sign over there, don't even think about it. You're not coming. Because a woman is tenacious when it comes protecting her brood. Now, with that said, in a very natural realm, I'd like to bring that over into the spiritual realm and say, why don't we take that same attitude in the spiritual realm, that we won't tolerate our children or grandchildren being held captive by the powers of the adversary? So just for a few minutes, let me just sort of go along this line, if I may, believing God. Now, Acts chapter 16, before I quote this verse, there's a little background to it. And of course, Paul and Silas have been ministering. And then they are beaten. And then they are thrown into prison. Well, they at midnight, the scripture says they begin to sing. And they begin to praise God. Well, all of a sudden, the power of the Lord was displayed. And the gates opened up. And they were free and set free. Well, the jailer, I guess he was asleep on the job, because the scripture says he ran out of that place and saw what had happened, and he fell down about to fall on his own sword, because letting those prisoners get away was a death sentence. He might as well do it himself. But suddenly Paul and Silas looked at him and said, sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're all here. Everything is okay. And the man fell down and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, this is where verse 31 comes in. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house shall be saved. Acts 2:39 begins to talk about it, and it talks a little bit like this, and I'll paraphrase it. And the promise is unto you and to your children. So you being a child, a born-again Christian doesn't automatically save them. But it certainly does put you in a place that an unregenerate parent doesn't hold. And that is, Lord, as your child, I can remind you of your word. that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved, but I also am believing for the salvation of my entire house.
Yes.
Now that carries a little bit over, and I may be taking a little bit of intrusion on this, whether I can take it there or not, but it does make a lot of sense. And it's talking about it over in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And it talks about when Rahab, and then of course they were going to bring Rahab, and then Joshua was coming, and they were going to take that. I'm sorry, Joshua too. They were going to take over that place. And Rahab took these spies and said, "We'll protect you." Now, here is a prostitute. Her place was on, as it were, it said in the wall of the city. So it was in the public place where people come and people go. And there she was in a very convenient place. And somehow, of all people God had used that would later be in the lineage of our Savior, would be a prostitute. Isn't that just absolutely like the Lord? That He doesn't give up on anybody. Somebody ought to shout a little bit hallelujah. Because that meant He doesn't give up on me. And so she protected them to where they could spy out the land. And before they left, she said, "Now when you come in," because she had heard about the exploits of the God of Israel, when you come in, what's going to happen to me?" And he said, I will guarantee you, you will be saved. You and your house will be saved." When we surround the place and you hear the trumpets sound and we're coming in, everyone that you can get inside that house, the place will be devastated all around you, but your house will not fall.
Hallelujah.
I'm believing that when judgment comes, everyone is going to be safe in your house. You might as well go ahead and receive this, because this is my faith talking. I'm believing that we're going to stand in our faith until they stand in their faith, that they shall not be lost. But when judgment hits this world, everyone inside that house, your house, is going to be saved. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, and your house is going to be saved." Now, I remember, Zonell, you'll recall this. It just comes to my mind. One day she and I were talking, and all of a sudden we both felt inspired about praying for lost loved ones. Well, on television, I just made a comment because it was in my spirit, and we were taping some programs, and I just made this. It was more than just an impulse. I know now, looking back on it, it was the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I just feel like saying to the television audience, looking into a camera, and I always treated a camera like a person. Because in doing it that way, that's all you had, was just a camera. There was no audience. And I just saw that as a person I'd talk to. And I would say, if you're at home now and you've got a loved one, and that was on our heart, I said, just send us their name and let us just start a prayer meeting over that. And then I just said, if you have a little photo, just a little photo of them, well, send that so we'll have something to look at, because we've got an awful lot of people that do some praying around this office. Well, I didn't count on several hundred thousand to show up. So we created this big, we called it the Acts 16:31 board, and it was a big metal cabinet type thing, and it swirled like this, but it was enormous. You couldn't pick it up. It was so weight. By the time we got all those pictures, well, we'd have prayer meetings around that thing, believing God, and then we'd begin to get reports from people back saying, "I don't know what's happened," but one of them said, "My daughter came home after all these years and said, I don't know what's happened. I'm supposed to come home and get saved." Well, those kind of things just, you know, it just began to unfold. I believe in the power of prayer. Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house." Well, then we begin to follow that and begin to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, I heard this man, and I told this at Pastor Alcorn's wonderful church over there in Grand Prairie, and a long time ago, several years ago, I remember touching on it as I'm doing tonight. But I want to refresh every one of us that this is what I feel led of the Holy Spirit, for us to have a plan. We're going to conspire against the devil here. If one puts a thousand to flight, two puts 10,000. So in other words, here's the phrase that comes out of my spirit. Until they're able to stand in their faith, we will stand in our faith on their behalf. We'll pray that hedge around them. We'll never turn them loose, but we're going to stand together. That God is going to do some things in their life. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So here's what we do. So this man that really inspired me in all of this about that time was a man that everybody in this room would know, and that's Brother Norval Hayes. So I'd like to revisit this illustration, if I may, with you, because it's really important, and it's been many years, and you've never possibly heard this, but it will encourage you. Norval Hayes is a powerful man of God and was for many years, and he's one of these extraordinary men of faith. It's just an amazing thing. And he's like one of these guys, you don't even know how to describe him, because it almost sounds so reckless in the way he believes. He just believes God can do anything. Yeah. And I mean, he would see things take place that were miraculous. Well, one day his daughter, Zona, that's now with the Lord, and Zona was a young girl, and she had married, and her husband, he went off to Vietnam, and while he was over there, he sent her back a letter and said, "I don't love you anymore, and when I get home, I want a divorce." Well, it crushed that child, just this young girl, and it just broke her heart. Well, she became rebellious and angry at God and angry at everything, and she began to go out into the world. She got herself involved with the wrong friends and drugs and everything else you can imagine, and it all happened right before Norval's eyes, this man of faith. Well, the devil would begin to taunt him and mock him and make fun. "Oh, that man of faith guy, how's that working for you?" And would taunt him and say things like that. And so Norval, it would break his heart. Sometimes she would leave out and he wouldn't know if she was going to be home that night or the next night. And sometimes it would be a day, maybe two, maybe three, before she would come back. She would hook up with her friends, and away they would go. And then the devil would torment her with things like, "Tonight I'll kill her while she's out there." Well, see, Norval's battle had some layers to it, because he had lost his marriage. He had lost his business. He's a very successful businessman that part of his life, and he lost that. And now then the devil was taunting him, "Now then you're going to lose the most precious thing that you have in your life. The only thing you have left is your daughter. And now I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her while she's out in her sin." And this torment went on continuously. And so one day he said, "God, I can't take this anymore, and you've got to help me. You've got to help me." So the Spirit of the Lord just came upon Norval, and this suddenly change took place in his life. He said, "I found out going to her and saying, 'Zona, you're putting me in an early grave.'" Well, anybody here that's gone through anything like that, did that ever work for you? "Are you driving me crazy?" And all of the things to somehow express to them your pain for how they're living. It doesn't work, does it? So the Lord said, "What I want you to do, first of all, I want you to love her unconditionally." Number one, love her unconditionally. Now that doesn't mean you condone her behavior. It just means you love her, and it isn't based on her behavior. You love her without a condition placed on it. The second thing that I want you to do, I want you to turn her over to me. You just get out of my way and love her without condition, and just turn her over to me. And then the third thing that I want you to do, I want you to speak into her life. Boy, this really ignites my fire before I even say it. I want you to speak into her life how I see her and what she will become, and not what you see as she is at this present time. Now, that's for somebody in this room right now. Don't see them where they are. See them what they're about to become. You know, I've often said this through the years, that it always amazes me that these feisty kids that are like, you could call them poster kids for bad behavior for want of something better. You know, every time I hear about one of them, and a mother will come up and she'll tell me all about two or three children, and it's like they're totally different. They were born by somebody else, but they're still mine. But they are total opposites. As sweet as they are, the others keep me on my knees day and night. And I always think about that. I always think about those kind of kids in life. And if you happen to have one of those or one of those grandchildren like that, I just would like to speak my faith over that situation. I just believe that the devil knows that I better get them down and out for good with all that spirit that's in them, because if they ever get that turned around for God, I'm in for a battle on my hands. And I really, you know, the Bible talks about James and John. They were the sons of thunder. Now, I'm sort of moving over into a territory. Maybe it's not applicable, but I can tell you this. They were burning up the Gaza Strip in their day. And Jesus called some rough customers. He didn't call little wimps. I think they wore boots, and probably most of them from Texas. But you know, he called warriors. He called men that were changed by the power of Almighty God. He said, I'll take you. And it didn't matter what their background was. He said, I'll take you and I'll make you fishers of men. And I want to speak over those feisty young'uns of yours. They shall come forth and they shall declare the glory and the power of God. Are we okay? All right, let me just go a little bit further than this. So Narvel, he would get to the place to where now he's got that faith thing going, and he has the faith long before he sees the result. And after all, that's what faith is. Long before you see the result, you can see it, and I do that all the time. But right when you can't see any visible encouragement in any of it. And I've had many a mother say to me, it seems like the more I pray, the more they misbehave, the more they just get into more stuff. And that's just the enemy trying to discourage you. But you see, God is a God of grace. He'll let them go just so far. I always remember, sister, and when I preached that meeting in the projects of Los Angeles, and there was gunfire, and it was another story, but it wasn't a small thing. We preached in the five major projects, the worst in all of Los Angeles. And I always remember in those crowds of young men, they would come forward, and they had a big shootout between the Blood and the Crips in those days. And we actually started the meetings right in the middle of where the bloodstains were on that pavement, and preaching the gospel. And I'd preach in blue jeans and an old shirt and stand up and didn't go into a church building for many months, but we'd get out there and preach in those projects. But I saw many of those hardened young people, handsome young people, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, changed by the power of God. And we could open a gun store. That's absolutely no exaggeration. We could open a big gun store. And they would get saved, and the Los Angeles police would work with us, and they'd get up on big high towers where we had those speaker things way up there, and they'd get up there with the night goggles on. And how many times I've lost count, they would come up after that meeting, and it would be partially dark so far out, and they couldn't see everything, but they could with night vision. And they would see the gangs out there and the restlessness the opposing gangs, they would say, every time you begin then to move into your message and talk about this Jesus, everything calmed down. You see, the problem in America is not a white thing or a black thing or a brown thing. The problem in America is a sin thing. And the answer doesn't have a color, because Jesus is all colors. The answer is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What we need in America is a revival of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There's only one way that all of this that's going on in our world, it's heartbreaking right now. We need a revival of the love of Almighty God to love one another. Well, they'd come forward, and I can always remember one that always stands out, and this real handsome African-American young man came up, and I'm on a 18-wheeler bed of this truck where I'm preaching up in. I'm standing here, and there's 2,000 or 3,000, whatever it is, out there, and gangbangers. In fact, one article in the LA Times said the gangs are far more better armed than the Los Angeles Police Department. So it was a serious thing. And they had over 150 organized gangs in the county of Los Angeles. So it was a serious situation. But here they would come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They would come forward. And I'll always remember this one young man, this young, handsome African-American young man. And he had this thing on something, because I could hear the Velcro break. And it went like that. And he didn't point it at me, nothing like that. He just pulled it out of his scabbard thing, and he laid it, holding it like this, not pointing. And so me and my crazy personality kicks into gear, and I said, ooh, was the sermon that bad? And it took him a moment. He got it, and he began to smile real big, and he said, no, that's not it. He said, I want you to take my gun. And he laid it down right there. And if you'll give me your Bible, the gang that killed my brother, I've been looking for. I don't know if I can get this out. I want to go find them and tell them about Jesus Christ. So, that's what Jesus can do. And of course, we could write, couldn't we not, Zonel, a thick book on just testimonies. Well, that's what Jesus can do. Jesus can come into any situation and change all of that. And this is for you to take it and apply this to your situation in your own house. Nothing is impossible with God. Whatever the enemy's holding over your loved one, it cannot stand and withstand the dynamic blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can set every captive free. Well, let me hurry along. Let me hurry along right quick. And so Narvel, he said, I didn't know if she'd come back. And then when she had come back, at times she wouldn't know who she is. And she'd be high on the drugs. And he said, but then my faith had kicked in. The devil would try to see what she's doing, see what I'm going to do to her. He said, I'd get her to her room and lay her in the bed, cover her up, and just cover her up, put her in bed and cover her up. And he said, I would stand over her, get in my chair and pull it up beside her. She would be out of it. And I would say these words, devil, get your hands off of my daughter. You will not succeed. This is my disciple, taught of God, in obedience to the will of God. Great shall be her peace. Great shall be her composure. And I would declare that. And he did this day after day, week after week. And this one time that she started out of that house, loaded up with her friends, and he said, I watched the car, the taillights, disappear down the street with those friends. I didn't know when she'd be back again. But he said, all of a sudden, this voice spoke to me again. This time, I will kill her. And he said, something rose up in me, not a timid, give-in spirit, but I think it's kind of like the spirit of Shammah came up on him right then. And he said, I stepped out on that porch and screamed it to the top of my voice and said, devil, you will get your hands off of my daughter. I'm going to do it. Let's do it one more time. Devil, get your hands off my family. One more time. Devil, get your hands off my family. And he stood on the word of the living God. And that's what this whole thing is all about, is standing on the word of God. They shall fulfill God's purpose for their life. They shall come forth. You know, those great grandkids that's come along now, we've been praying over them long before they were born. When their mothers are pregnant, just like John the Baptist, we're praying they're full of the Holy Ghost before they even come out of the womb. You say, that's crazy. Well, it wasn't crazy for John the Baptist because it said he was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb of his mother. Yes. So we're just not waiting until they get here. We begin to say they're going to be full of the Holy Ghost while they're in the womb of their mother. Yes. And just like when Jesus and John the Baptist met, first time they met wasn't in the flesh where they could see each other. They were both in the wombs of the mother. There was Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. And her tummy's on out there. On that. And then there's Jesus, Mary, and she's carrying him. And, of course, one of them's older than the other. I think John's 6 months older than Jesus, if I got it right. And so there's Mary, that little bump in her stomach. And then there's John the Baptist. She's a little bit bigger in the stomach of Elizabeth. And the Bible said when they greeted one another, the King James said, they saluted one another. Well, I could just see those two tummies kind of, they're cousins, first cousins, you know. And so they kind of greet each other. Can you see them hugging and bumping each other? And it says, and the scripture says that John began to thrash and kick in the womb of his mother. Now, this is my translation. You've read mine, haven't you? The Thompson chain. You've read all of that. That's Thompson in there. Well, here's my translation in all of it. I believe what that translation meant when he began to kick in there, he was saying, let me out of here. That's him. Let me out of here. That's the coming Messiah. Let me out of here. Well, I'm not saying that's theology. I'm just... It's my message. I'll preach it the way I want to. Thank you so very, very much. And so here we are now. Here we are. He's standing in his faith. And he's standing in faith that this daughter is a disciple taught of God in obedience to the will of God, and great shall be her peace and her composure. And then he prayed, you will fulfill your purpose for her life. I dedicated to you, and on and gone, on and he would remind God, I dedicated her the day she came into the world. And she will not be given over to the powers of the devil. And neither will one of your loved ones be given over to the powers of the devil. We resist it. We resist it in the name that is above every name. Not in our name, not in our power, not in an organization, but in the name that is above every name. The one that can deliver and has delivered the crushing blow to the head of the devil. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, let me put a caboose on this right quick. And Brother Norville said the day came, and after some period of time, till she comes home, I beg your pardon, let me get it straight, till she's in her car and she's leaving with her friends, and all of a sudden she's, in 5 minutes, she's back. He said, devil, you won't get my child, and in 5 minutes, she's back. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. This is what God can do. We serve a big God. No. I think about where I'd be if it hadn't been for God. If it hadn't been for my mom and for my dad. Like I told you this morning, she said, son, you get in that little blue car. I told her, I'm going to go see the world. You get in that little blue car. It had white tires, big white walls on it. That 1954, she said, you get in your little blue car with those big white tires. You go, 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 my son. You go as far as you want to go. But you'll never go so far that my prayers will not find you. And your loved ones aren't going to go so far that your prayers are not going to find them. God is on their trail. They might as well give it up. It's a lost cause. Because he will not give up. We will not give up. And we're speaking over them in the name of Jesus. And in 5 minutes, she was back. And Narvel said I'd gone back in the house. I'm sitting down and the door opened. And there's Sona. She laid her little bag down, whatever little bag she had. And she walks over to her daddy and he's still sitting down. He said all I could do was sit there. I didn't say anything. She just walked over to me. And she knelt. She knelt at her daddy's knee. And she said, Lord, help me get this out of my mouth. She said to her daddy, she said, Daddy, I don't know what it is. There's something going on in my head. And it won't stop. And he said, well, what do you mean, Zona? He said, she said, I don't know where I've heard it, but it says, Zona, you're a disciple taught of God. Great shall be your peace and great shall be your composure. Daddy, it won't stop. I've got to be a disciple taught of God. She surrendered her life to Jesus Christ and went full time immediately into the ministry and alongside her father until she recently went to heaven. She preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God can do. All right, that's enough. That's enough. All right, I'm through. We're gonna. We got to pray now, and we've got to get ourselves all on the same page. So we're on the trail of your loved one. They shall not be lost, but they shall be saved.
Amen.
Devil, you will take your hand off of their loved one. I see ministers of the gospel in your lineage. I see them in your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I see teachers of the word. I see mighty singers, great musical anointed spiritual songs that will flow from their pen. It's all right. This is my service. I'll speak over you as I feel led of the Holy Ghost. They're full of talents. There's songs in them, lyrics they will write that will be Christ exalting. And all of this other stuff that's dominated their life, it matters not how it looks on the outside. God is doing a work in their life in the name of Jesus. God's doing a work in their life. And now that I feel led of the Holy Spirit to say something right here. Everyone involved in this enterprise of finding all the sin that they can and having a good time, all that stuff will run its course quick. Just like we talked about this morning with the prodigal. All of that will run its course. All of that will, it'll run out. As soon as they lose their buddies and as soon as they lose their friends, they lose their money. Pretty soon they realize, man, this is killing me. We're just going to believe that they will just be held in God's mercy until they're able to give it up and surrender it all to the Lord. But you see, they're going to come forth and fulfill God's destiny for their life. I speak that over them. So every one of them has some influence in their life that's encouraging them in their lifestyle. They've all got buddies. You're going to have a good time. It's hard to have a good time by yourself, so go hang out with somebody and live it up. Da-da. You know, shucking and a jiving. That's cool. Did y'all see Jerry Alcorn dance the other day when we were in church right here and he's dancing? I said, people get up here and dance. And he had some moves like something like this. And I thought, good Lord. I said, he didn't learn that in church. There's no way. You know, the way I always danced in church was to I'll Fly Away and everybody's going like a torpedo around the church. Like, That's all I knew about dancing, was like to something real fast. But not Pastor Alcorn. So I won't go any further with all that. I'm just saying. Well, I guess I preached at his church for the last time, don't you think? But see, everybody's got friends and influences in their life. So here's what I feel led of the Lord. First of all, we're going to praise Him in advance for the miracle He's about to perform in every life of your family, every one of them. We're going to thank Him in advance. So let's just go ahead and lift our hands and say, Lord, I thank You in advance. Every power, every influence in their life will be broken. They shall fulfill God's purpose for their life in Jesus' name. And I come against the enemy, declaring victory in the spirit before I see it in the natural. Now, everybody look straight here. So what we're going to pray, first of all, it's like this really came into my spirit. They've all got buddies and friends, friendships, and they're encouraged to do what they do. So we're going to pray that God's going to break up all of their friendships. Break them up. You know, whatever it takes. Lord, we want You to break up every influence in their life that's not of God. Break it up. Let them get whatever. Break it up. I started to say, knock them out, Lord. Just knock them. Well, go ahead and do that if you want to. Just get them out of their life is what I'm trying to say. Get them out of their life. Of course, we want to win them all to Christ, even their friends. So the influences we want to be broken, ungodly influences. Let's pray specifically for that right now. So let's put our hands back up. We're going to do some praying here for a little while. And let's all get in agreement on this. So let me lead you in this, if I may. So let's just say it out loud with authority. In the name of Jesus, every influence in our loved one's life, evil influences, ungodly influences, worldly influences, in the name of Jesus, break up those influences. Those friendships, break them up. Holy Spirit, sever that relationship in the name of Jesus. Now thank Him that He's going to do that right now. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him right now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, God. Thank You, God.
Now, Zonel, I'm thinking right now, just to be specific about something that's on our heart, and that's your niece. And her name's Lindsay. What a beautiful child she is. Her daddy's a pastor. So, Lindsay, we're just standing with you right now in our faith. And that influence in your life and that hold that lifestyle has upon you, whatever it may be, we come against that in Jesus' name, and it's broken. And why don't you just for a moment, just like your loved ones, talk to them for about 60 seconds. Just kind of like... Talk to them right now, sort of in the spirit, you know, like I'm doing with Lindsay. Like, you're not even here, and I'm just talking to Lindsay. Now, Lindsay, in the name of Jesus, we just come against that influence in your life that's broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that influence is broken. How many believe that with me right now? It's broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now let's move to that second part right now, and that is, now, Lord, now that those influences are broken, we're believing that You will then send a godly influence into their life, somebody they may not even know or have never met, that You'll send that influence into their life, and that influence will be so powerful and so anointed that loved one just won't be able to resist that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Lord, for Lindsay and your loved one, move on in there then with that godly, anointed, with the love of Christ into that loved one's life. and lead them. Lead them, Lord, back to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now let's all shout this out. In the name of Jesus, a new influence is coming into their life. In Jesus' name. And that influence may even be me. Me in a totally different role than I've ever been with them. In other words, it could be everyone in this room that you're the one that God will use. But suddenly your approach is different. You know, it's not that the first thing out of your mouth is like pushing their buttons and they fly off and out the door that they go. No, it'll be a very noticeable change in your approach to where they'll say, like, Zona wasn't even aware of it, but Narvel, that she wouldn't listen to about, you're just killing me, Zona. Never made the connection at first. That was her dad speaking into her life God's plan for their life. I'm expecting great testimonies out of this. Oh, hallelujah. If it's all right, I'm just going to get all happy about it right now. Because in my spirit, you know, in my spirit, that's where we win the victories, in the spirit. And get ready, some of you, you might want to call me and say, hey, you remember that service you did last week at our church? Mine just went crazier than they've ever been. Well, that's a pretty good sign, too. That just means that the heat's being turned up. No, I mean that with all my heart. I could write a book, Zonell and I could write a book on just the miracles we've seen and the up here, down here, these emotions just went crazy. And all along, Zonell, you remember in the hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, we were in that city auditorium across the street. And they woke us up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That woman said, on the other end of the line, said, you've got to get down here. I brought my husband to church, and he is out of his mind with anger, or to that meeting. And I ran downstairs, and sure enough, her husband, she was standing there, and he was back there. And boy, he was coming at me like he was going to knock me down. And he was yelling at me in the middle of that Hyatt Hotel, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's your fault. It's your fault. He's screaming at me, and he's coming at me. And I'm looking at him, and the dude is coming on me. I'm from Texas. I wear boots. Dude, don't come too close. Dude, break it off. Well, I thought a little bit along that line because I didn't know what he's going to do. And he got right up to me, and he said, I can't take it anymore. She brought me to that service over there, and I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't do my job. And boy, he'd been talking like that, and all of a sudden the tears just burst out of his eyes. He just fell down on his knees and gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he got a lot meaner before he got better. So whatever emotions they go through, just get ready for it. But God's going to use you, or he's going to send somebody in your place. But I fully anticipate great testimonies. Now, this isn't a one-day thing that we go by our feelings and run out here. Oh, that was a cool little talk that Thompson gave. You know, it's cool. You know, in about 3 or 4 days, something happens, something dramatic, some terrible reversal, and oh, you're back to where you were. And then they come in, and I had one of our, well, I won't go whoever it was, but anyway, one of them got so mad, he just said, one of my grandkids at one time, boy, he just, profanity came out of his mouth. I didn't hear it. And I guess it's good that I wasn't there. But all of a sudden, boy, I mean, that thing changed just like that. And he recognized what had just happened. And I mean, he repented and he got that thing out of his spirit. And the devil had just jerked them every direction. But today, see them all involved in, seemed like, one form of ministry or another, whatever it may be. To God be all the glory. And so that's what we're believing for. So don't be motivated in your emotions by their emotions. We've made a commitment. We're in this thing for the duration. It may be today or tomorrow, next week or next year. But God's on their trail. We're going to thank Him every day. Boy, they may put on a show for you, but go, oh, yeah, well, there's my disciple having a hard time right now, taught of the Lord. But we're not going to give in to it. We're just not going to be manipulated that way in our emotions. He's the one that said, and your house shall be saved. So let's all stand together and lift our hands. In fact, tonight, let's just join hands and make it one great big circle, like that pea patch. So let me lead the prayer, then I'll have Brother Charlie come and he'll dismiss us here tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's just pray a moment. If you want to pray in the Holy Spirit for a few moments, go ahead and do that, and then I'll just lead you in a prayer. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God. They shall not be lost, but they shall be saved. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout this out loud. My family, they are disciples taught of God.
They are disciples taught of God.
In the will of God.
In the will of God.
Great shall be their peace.
Great
shall be their composure.
Great shall be their composure.
They shall.
Not maybe.
They shall fulfill
God's call
and purpose
for their life.
They shall be champions for Jesus Christ. All attacks of the enemy shall fail.
All
strongholds in their life shall be broken. And until they can stand in their faith, we stand in our faith, binding every attack of the enemy.
It is broken.
We stand in the middle of our pea patch. And we tell the devil, get back across that line. In Jesus' name,
they shall
be victorious.
They shall
fulfill
His design,
His destiny.
For their life.
It is done.
In the name of Jesus.
Now make a little noise right now and shout hallelujah. Now, we had, I'm told today, if I heard it right, about 23 people that gave their life to the Lord this morning. And if there's somebody in this room tonight and you've never given your life to Christ, this is it. Because you can't go anywhere. I've got the doors locked. If you try to get out, I'm going to follow you home. And I'm going to sit out there on the hood of your car and say, I'll be here when you get up. Well, I can't do that. Sometimes I wish I could. But I want you to know you can't outrun God. And if I may say this, you might as well just go ahead and say, Lord, anything and everything in my life that's not pleasing to you, take that out of there. You know, this isn't the time to play church. It's not the time to just be half in and half out. Because He's not going to put up with any of that. And we all know that, don't we? So I'm just telling you the truth. This is the time to say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to go inside me. And everything that you find in me, that is displeasing to me being what God wants me to be. Take that out of my life and set me free. I want to be all I can be for Jesus. I'm saying that for Dwight Thompson. I want to be all I can be. My friend that passed away, that pastored that great church of over 5,000 there in Denver this past week, he had a line that he always said, "Lord, use me until you use me up, and then just take me home." And I want to kind of borrow that line, "Use me, Lord, until you've used me up, then you can go ahead and take me home." Does anybody feel that in your own heart? I want to be used of God. So before we pray one final time, and then I give it to Brother Charlie, I just remind you of what I preached this morning about that prodigal. But then I left out the last part purposely, thinking I would get to it tonight, and I haven't. But the last part, there was one more character. Remember, that father had two sons. One went off and took his inheritance, and he had to come home. He had two sons. One was lost on the outside, but the other one was lost on the inside. He was just as lost as the one out here. And when they came home, and the father said, "Kill the calf and bring his robe and bring his ring. My son that was lost has now been found." And the son, the oldest son, the eldest son came and heard the commotion and the noise and talked to one of the servants, "What's going on at the house?" And he said, "Well, your brother's come home." "My brother? Yeah, he's back. And your dad, he's throwing a big celebration." And he was furious, that older son. He came up to his father, and in his own ways, "My words, but how dare you? How dare you treat him that way?" Scripture says in the King James, it said he went out and spent his money on that riotous living and on prostitutes, and he comes home and you throw him a party. "You never gave me anything like that." And the dad said, "Son, I've always loved you. I've always loved you." But you see, the son on the inside represented the religious church. They don't get it. They think it's just religion and all about them. But you see, what it was all about was the one that was lost. The ones on the inside ought to be rejoicing. There's a good message for the church. And so what we're going to do is practice rejoicing in advance for all the prodigals that are going to come home. And maybe no one threw you a party, but just remember this that I brought out. It says when one soul is converted, there's rejoicing in heaven. So that means when Maxie came to the Lord, "Hey, did you hear it?" The angel said one to another, "Maxie just got saved. Maxie saved us from Trenton, Texas. He just got saved." Then did you hear about that Jerry Alcorn? He not only got saved, now he's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, when your name was called, they had a party in heaven for you. Oh, you're going to get it when you get in the car. I get it. I get that. They had a rejoicing in heaven. So we on the inside are going to rejoice when the prodigals come home from the outside. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Father, tonight we give you praise and glory for all that you've accomplished. And everyone in this room that says in their heart of hearts, "I have something in my life, and I know I don't want it to be there anymore. And I give the Holy Spirit permission to go inside me, even things that I'm blinded to. Things that I'm blinded to that I can't even see that for whatever reason. I didn't even realize it. Holy Spirit, you have permission to take that out of my life that I may fulfill His purpose and be what He wants me to be. If that's your prayer, and you mean that with all of your heart, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you have your backslidden, or if you're saying, I'm one of those that wants to make sure that everything in my life is under the blood. When I count to three, don't put that hand half up. Throw it up as high as you can get it. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer all over this room. You're going to know that you know everything's right with God. Dwight, do it. I'm ready. One, two, three. Raise your hand up all over this room. I've got something in my life. I want to make it all right with God. All right. All right. All right. Now, everybody put both hands up all over this room. Let's pray this prayer together. Now, Holy Spirit, we've given you permission to examine us, cleanse us, make us all that you want to be. We repent of every shortcoming, every sin, everything in our lives that stands in the way of me being a champion for Christ. Remove it. And then in advance, we praise you for the victories in our house. They shall not be lost, but they shall be saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, Brother Charlie, I'll turn this over to you. I don't think I can't see the clock up there, but I think I went past 7:30. Well, what can I say? When the Holy Spirit takes over, I'm not responsible anymore. Thank you for this wonderful privilege. I love each and every one of you. And when you see Pastor, when he gets back, give him a great big hug for Zonell and I. Tell him how much we love him. You're a special people, very special. And the best is yet to come. It really is. Brother Charlie, thank you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, let's bless the ministry of Evangelist Dwight Thompson tonight. If you have a check.